Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Call now. And Bob and Richard, as we get the broadcast underway today, I would like to extend happy birthday wishes to our wonderful longtime staffer, Michelle, who happens to be the person who, if you call during the live broadcast, answers the phone and directs your call into the studio. So happy birthday to Michelle.
Yes, indeed. She's getting it out of the way early, isn't she?
She is indeed. Yeah. Started early.
Oh, man. Thank you for doing that. Michelle is just such a blessing and a joy to each and every one of us.
Yes, she is.
She's got a wonderful wit, a great work ethic, and I love her smile, and she's just great to have with us and has been with us for so many years.
Absolutely.
And so thank you, Bob, for wishing her a happy birthday. Starting a brand new month, a brand new year.
Right.
Our theme this year is two words, live different.
Yeah.
And that's what the gospel enables us to do, to live different than what we once lived. We look out there in the world and we see life lived in a certain way. We see people grabbing for all the gusto, trying to get everything for themselves. And then we see Christians. And there is a stark contrast between those two ways of life. But yet there are many Christians that are still struggling, that are still kind of have, you know, a lot of the world in them, and they're still living as if they're in the world. They know they're saved. They've tried to live the Christian life. They've tried to be different, but it just hasn't worked for them because they've gone about it the wrong way. And so this year we're going to talk about how to truly live differently as a child of God. And we're going to talk about that in terms of relationships, how to have different looking relationships as far as marriage is concerned, parenting is concerned, as far as work relationships, as far as the body of Christ is concerned. We're going to look at how to live differently, you know, in this political cycle that we're in right now, we're as far as world circumstances are concerned. We're going to take a look at all of those sort of things and to dig in and to show how the gospel enables us to live differently in the midst of all that that's going on around us. And I think it's going to be a fantastic year. I am really looking forward to it. We're going to have some exciting guests on the broadcast to bring different perspectives on those various topics that we'll be covering throughout the year. But for us to really live differently, we have to start with the foundation. And if we don't start there, then anything else that we say during the year is going to be meaningless.
Right.
It's just going to be more legalism, more, you know, try harder, do more, be more type of discussion. So we have to start with the foundation, and that foundation is Christ Jesus. Here's what Paul had to say in his letter to the Corinthians. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul, in his ministry efforts, set in place a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ himself. He is life. He is our life. It is us in Christ, Christ in us. That is the foundation that is going to shape every other aspect of life. And it's so vitally important that we understand it, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And if you think about Paul's letter, the first letter here to the Corinthians, it is very clear that what they had done was abandon that foundation. There was this wonderful foundation of Jesus Christ set in place by Paul. He left, and they walked away and tried to build on sand in the water, you know, all at the same time.
And
it was falling apart.
Yes,
it
causing all kinds of divisions. People were living as if they were babes in Christ, carnal, if you will. There was all kinds of sexual immorality. They were just making a mess of things. Why? Yeah. Because they had shifted away from the foundation of Jesus Christ.
He called them back. Yeah. This is the foundation.
Right. And if you're going to build a life on anything, you have to start right there. Here in Dallas, construction is just going nuts, isn't it? I mean, the crane has become the state bird of Texas. Yeah. We see these cranes all over the place. But you see these buildings, and for months and months and months, you don't see anything happening, or at least it doesn't look like anything's happening. But what these construction crews are doing are paying a lot of attention to the foundation. Yes. They are making sure the foundation for any and every building is exactly right. Because once they start building the walls, if that foundation is messed up, that building is going to be messed up. So they spend an inordinate amount of time on the foundation. So if we want to have good marriages, if we want to have great relationships with our kids, if we want to have an understanding of what it means to be a parent that is being led and by the Spirit of God, if we want to know how to be a good Christian worker, if we want to know how to live in this crazy world in which we live, we better spend a lot of time on the foundation. We better understand that our life is in Christ and Christ's life is in us. That is the foundation. And it's from that union that everything else is going to flow. So that's what we're going to talk about this month, this new union that we have with Christ Jesus, the fact that we're in Christ and the fact that Christ is in us. That is the foundation. That is the thing that has been set in place. So let's figure that out. Let's understand it in all of its detail, all of its glory, all of its power, all of its victory, and then let that start to shape everything else that we do.
Live different.
That's right.
Lee.
Yes.
Hey, guys, you know, we so appreciate the many of you who stepped forward with a gift at the end of the year to help us get into 2017 with as good a financial position as possible. And because of what you did in 2016, we were able to reach out into the hearts and lives of people all across North America and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the important and meaningful ways that we reach out, of course, other than radio and through the internet, was with Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And this month, we're making Simple Gospel, Simply Grace available to all of you who care to help us keep the message going into 2017. And to do that, all you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net to make a donation and receive your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. If you don't have one, you're in for a blessing. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher, along with your gift this month to help us keep the message going. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, the line is wide open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Had a couple of calls, guys, that came in over the holiday, one of them from an anonymous caller, with a question concerning church or cult. Let's listen to that call right now.
Yes, hi. I've been attending a church that I think may be a cult. Let me give you some examples. The only music we can listen to is the music recorded by the founder and leader of the church. They're told we cannot visit other churches, because if we do, we will end up doing what they do. If you don't celebrate Christmas, you can't celebrate Thanksgiving. If you're going to minister the gifts of the Spirit, you have to wear a suit and a tie. I was told that the Holy Spirit has taught everyone never to question the leaders. And those are just a few of the questions that I have. Thank you, Brian.
Church or cult?
Church or cult? I think the
meter is tipping toward cult.
Yes,
pretty
yes,
strongly.
Yes, absolutely. And what do you say to a person like that? Well, I would say, don't walk, run away from that church group as quickly as possible. When there's an inordinate amount of attention spent or directed toward the founder or the leader. And, you know, whatever he says goes, it's his way or the highway type of thing.
Yeah.
You're messing with something that you don't need to be messing with.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure he's using fear tactics. I'm sure he's using guilt, motivation, all of those sort of things to capture the people and to hold them captive. He's not talking about freedom. And certainly she didn't express freedom in her question. She was expressing bondage, a situation where they were being enslaved or being oppressed by the leader. Well, to those folks in that group, run, don't walk, find a place that lifts up the person and work of Jesus Christ. You want a person that is in the pulpit to be lifting up Jesus. So when you walk away from any sermon, your thought about that sermon is Jesus Christ. It's not about how wonderful the pastor is. It's not about how wonderful he delivers the message. It's about Jesus.
It's not about what you have to do as you walk out the door.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's all by grace through faith in Jesus. That is the foundation. So you want somebody to build on that foundation that has already been set in place. The gospel message delivers that foundation, sets it in place for us, and so we build on it. And we have to build carefully. And it doesn't sound like this guy is building carefully upon the foundation of Jesus. It sounds like he's substituting himself as the foundation, and to that, run away.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Well, we hope, Richard, you have something to add.
Well, no, I hear something like that, and all I can picture in my mind is someone who must have absolute control over every aspect, yeah, of everything that's going on in his life, in his family's life, in his congregation's life.
That's sad.
And that is really sad. It, yeah, is too bad.
Yeah. Well, and you know, our religious climate of the day, everybody's saying, well, you need to be in church. Well, you don't need to be in a church like that.
No.
You need to find a church that lifts up the name of Jesus. So we need to be careful and recognize that the message does matter. It's not that just folks gather together in the name of whatever,
yeah,
that makes a church. It's in the name of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. If the Holy Spirit is active in a church, then that church is going to be lifting up the name of Jesus. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
He takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known unto us. If you have a pastor, if you have elders, if you have leaders that are worth their salt, they will consider themselves under shepherds, that Jesus is the good shepherd, yeah, the great shepherd, the over shepherd. We're simply under shepherds tending the flocks that he is brought our way,
yes,
and pointing them to Jesus, pointing them to the pastures that they can experience through faith in him and him alone. So it's not just go to church. It's go to a church with the message about Jesus.
Absolutely. Dear sister, hope you're listening and hope this offers some guidance for you. And as I said, this call and one that we're going to hear in just a moment came in over the holiday. One of two ways, either by calling 844-322-2742, which you can do right now if you're listening during the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, 844-322-2742, or by going to our website, basicgospel.net/ask. There you can record your question in your own voice, or you can write it, and we would love to hear from you either way if you have a question. Again, that's basicgospel.net/ask, and lines available right now at 844-322-2742. The other call that came in over the holiday was from Richard, and not our Richard sitting here in the studio, but another Richard. Question on Jeremiah. Let's listen.
Yes, I heard you talking about Jeremiah 31:31 and the New Covenant. So I was wondering how far you might take your understanding of God's mercy and forgiveness to someone who might be and is actually in a different religion, even Buddhism or whatever, and doesn't believe the Christian story as preached by the Christian church.
It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And how do we answer that? What do we say? And I think the operative word, especially in the New Testament, operative phrase is this: in Christ.
In Christ.
Are, yes, you in Christ? So life is offered through the gospel, mm-hmm, and it's offered to all.
Yes.
I mean, that this gospel message is going around the world. It's circling the world day in and day out, and it's reaching out to people, and it's making the offer to anyone and everyone to receive life, to receive Jesus, and when you receive Jesus, you receive life. So all these promises of the new covenant are true in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you're outside of the new covenant, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the new covenant has an invitation come and be a part. But the only way to come and be a part is by grace through faith in Jesus. There's no other way to be made a partaker of this new covenant and to be declared a child of God and be given this eternal inheritance. So the operative word is in Christ. So you say to your Buddhist friend, or you say to whatever friend it may be, whatever religious persuasion they come from, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and he has delivered to us that message of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, and through his shed blood, he's no longer counting your sins against you. So you have absolute freedom to come and participate,
yes.
But you do it on God's terms, not yours. Mm-hmm. And God's terms are by grace through faith in Jesus. There is no other way. Now, many folks think that's exclusive, but it's not. It's exclusive in the sense that Jesus is the only one that can give us life. There's no other place that we can find eternal life.
Correct.
Only in Jesus. This life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And when we receive Jesus, we receive all the benefits that he has provided for us through this new covenant: reconciliation, redemption, righteousness, forgiveness. All of those things become ours when we are included in Christ Jesus. And that is by grace through faith in Jesus.
Richard, thank you for your call and your question. We hope that's a help to you as well. And, you know, mentioning grace, it was through Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that many of us learned that grace is not only the door that grants us entry into God's house, it's the way we live once we're in. You know, grace packs all the power you need for life and godliness, and many have learned and begun to live in this truth, as Simple Gospel, Simply Grace has pointed them to the one who offers love, grace, and the life that we live. This month, we're making Simple Gospel, Simply Grace available to all of you who care to help us keep the message going. And with your gift this month to Basic Gospel, you'll receive a copy, a complimentary copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. So simply click donate at basicgospel.net to make your donation and receive your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Question from Steve, who wrote to us through the Internet from Roanoke, Virginia. Says, the law is the first five books of the Bible, right? Paul says in many places that believers are no longer under the law. Hebrews 8:13 says the old covenant is done away with and replaced by the new covenant. Is the old covenant referring to the law and everything else before the cross, the Psalms, prophets, gospels, and so forth? Seems like many verses in the Psalms and, of course, the prophets point to the new covenant. Help me clear up my understanding. That's from Steve in Roanoke, Virginia.
Again, an excellent question.
Yes,
that really
it
goes back to our topic for the month, foundations. As far as the Bible is concerned, when we look at the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, those words are interchangeable. When we look at those 39 books, we see the first five, and those first five are known as the Torah, which is a word for law. But within those five, we see the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant. And this was a special covenant that God had with the people of Israel. And the centerpiece of that Mosaic covenant was and is the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And that was a temporary covenant. It did not replace the promises that God had made to Abraham. They just came in as servants to move those promises forward.
Yes.
So the law was for the people of Israel. It was time-stamped. It was temporary. It had a beginning at Mount Sinai, and it had an end, the cross of Jesus Christ. So once it came to an end, then the people of Israel, when they turned to Jesus, turned to their Messiah, turned to their Savior, they were no longer under that Mosaic covenant that had been replaced for the people of Israel in this new covenant. For Gentiles who were never a part of that Mosaic covenant, we were outside of that, we just enter into this new covenant by grace through faith in Jesus. And we just take up the promises that God had made to Abraham. We just kind of fit in as if that was the last thing that was said.
Yes.
So that's how we have to look at it. So the first five books are called the Torah or the law, but they contain that Mosaic covenant. So when Paul speaks of the law in the New Testament, he is primarily speaking of the Mosaic covenant, isn't he, Richard?
Yes, yes, he is. And the context will tell you, or will at least suggest, whether it's all five books, he's talking more historically, or whether he's talking specifically about Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. It's a wonderful thing, and the writer brought this out. There are many, many, many places in the Old Testament where the new covenant is declared, hinted at, pictures are drawn, and all of that. So don't misunderstand us when we say that Jesus fulfilled it. It's not like, okay, those first 39 books can be thrown in the trash now. That's not it at all. There is valuable information there that when brought forward properly into the new covenant with Jesus as the fulfillment, just sheds incredible light on how we live and why we live and what Jesus has accomplished and will continue to accomplish in our lives. And so the whole Bible is the Word of God, but you have to understand what parts of it have been fulfilled in Christ and what parts have not yet. Certain prophecies, for example, have not come true yet. We just wait by faith, right? By grace through faith for those things to come true, and guaranteed Jesus will fulfill them.
Yes, indeed. I love that point, Richard, and I think it's so important to really linger there for just a second or two. You know, our gospel, when we read what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I'm passing on to you what I've received, this gospel which saves, on which you have taken your stand.
Yes.
These are the things that are of first importance, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures.
Yes.
So when Paul says according to the Scriptures, he's not referring to New Testament Scriptures. Those had not been written as of yet. And many people think this was the earliest creed of Christianity,
yes,
this particular passage. And many scholars can date it just almost years, 2 or 3 or 4 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So this was a fresh creed. And it was something that was being passed around verbally,
yes,
among believers of that day, and Paul just wrote it down for us, and we see it in this wonderful letter. But he says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
Yes.
So if we really want to know what it means that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, then it's a lot of what we read in the Old Testament.
Correct.
that is going to give us our fullest sense of what Paul meant right there. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to see explanations of that in the New Testament,
yes,
as well. So all of these things hold together as one single story about the person and work of Jesus and how his death, burial, and resurrection brings us into new life, forgiveness, and hope through faith in him. That is the story of the Bible, and that is the foundation. That's what's been laid, that's what's been set in place, and that's what we build on top of. And that's good news, isn't it, guys?
Sure.
That's just real good news. And it's the kind of news you hear each day on Basic Gospel, everybody. I want to remind you once again that you can participate in the program by posing a question, either by email or by voice, and you can do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net/ask, to pose your question. There you can do it, as I said, either by voice or in writing, basicgospel.net/ask, or you can use our number, 844-322-2742, 24 hours a day. Well, we appreciate the many of you who have stepped forward with a gift at the end of the year to help us get into 2017 in as good financial position as possible. And because of what you did in 2016, we were able to reach out into the hearts and lives of people all across North America and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the important and meaningful ways that we reached out, other than radio and internet, was through Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And this month, we're making Simple Gospel, Simply Grace available to all of those of you who care to help us keep the message going. The love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, of course, as Bob Christopher said at the outset of the broadcast, our foundation. With your gift this month to Basic Gospel, you'll receive a copy, a complimentary copy, of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.